Hallelujah. Let's clap for the choir. That was good singing. Those of us who had our background from Anglican and Methodist, we are the only ones who can appreciate that. Those who are the O-single generation. Choir, you did very well. You did very well. Glory be to God. I want to thank God for TIP. I bless the name of the Lord for 25 years of existence. 25 years. Just like yesterday, God has helped you. It's only God. Only God. In spite of all the battles, you are still on your feet. We give glory to God. Just wave your hands to the Almighty God and appreciate Him. Honor Him for all He has done. How He has helped us all these years. He has not left us alone. He has shown up for us at every point in time. He has sent help to us at the right time. He is our helper. There is no one like Him. The ever faithful God, the ever sure. Let's bless Him. Let's appreciate Him. The Lord who is always there for us. The one who sits upon the throne of the whole universe and who has made the earth His footstool. Lord, we bless You. Lord, we honor You. We have no other words than just to say thank You. Thank You. From day one till year 25, You have been there for us. Blessed, blessed be Your name. Be Thou exalted forever, Lord. Glory be to Your name. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Thank You, Heavenly Father. We honor You, Lord. Our help in ages past. Our hope for years to come. Thank You, Father. Be Thou exalted forever, Lord. In Jesus' marvelous name we have worshipped. We are going to commit the future to His hand. We will ask and tell Him and say, Heavenly Father, You have helped us for 25 years. Don't leave us as we go forward. Let's cry to Him. Don't leave us, O Lord. You are the one who has helped us thus far. We ask, O Lord, You will continue to lead us. Lord, the journey ahead is much more than where we are coming from. And so, Lord, we need You. We need You every step of the way. We need You, our Father. Blessed be Your name. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Be Thou exalted forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Father, we appreciate You. King of glory, we worship You. If we begin to count from the first year to 25th year, Lord, we will not leave here today if we have to think of all the testimonies of the things You have done. If we have to think of all the souls You have saved in this place. If you have to think of the parishes that have been planted. If you have to think of the healings that have taken place. Miracles, signs and wonders, provisions. How You have met the need of Your children here. If we begin to give testimony, Lord, we will not leave here today. Father Almighty, we appreciate You. We will always appreciate You. We will never take You for granted. Thank You, our Father. Blessed be Your name. Lord of heaven and earth, we pray. Even as we go forth, You will go with us. The journey ahead, we commit to Your hand. Take absolute control. Father, take absolute control. My Father, take absolute control. Lord, we pray, your presence will go with us. And every miracle that we still need, every breakthrough that we still need as individuals, as families, and as a church, Father Lord, let them visit us. What you will do in the next 1 year, let it be more than what has happened in 25 years. Thank you, my Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody will say, please move around and shake hands with 25 people. Tell them congratulations. 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 God has helped us. God has helped us. Congratulations. 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 Congratulations.
Congratulations. Sing the glory of God. Congratulations. We are sorry for you.
Yes.
You will come back with a new song to sing. God is good.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The Lord has been so faithful to us. We must never forget that. Hallelujah. I know how excited you are. After I've left, you can greet another 25. But in the meantime, let me do my own service. Glory be to God. Let's have our seat. God bless you. I want to celebrate the Ezekwezilis for the great work God had used them to do in this particular place and in all several other parishes all over Abuja. If you are clapping for them, please do it very well. Please do it very well. Hallelujah. Congratulations. I know, talking about 25 years of existence of this place, you look back and look at all the journey and look at how far the Lord has helped you. And I also want to thank God on behalf of our beloved pastor, the pastor in charge of this place. Hallelujah. Amen. I always call him Dokita. That's what I call him, Dokita. You know, it is very, it's very, very strange. I mean, before you can have a former military officer who is also a Dokita. We want to thank God for you. Now, next I come here, I want to see this place overflowing. All of you, you know that I like crowds. So, when next I come, what do I want to see? Overflowing. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. When I look at the theme that you have chosen, 25 years of God's faithfulness, that is not a better theme. Years ago, a group of people invited me to speak on the word faithfulness. And I had to sit down to do a thorough study of that word. Before that time, I didn't know that it's such a powerful term. such a concept that we have not given enough thought to. The reason why God is God is because of his faithfulness. That's why he's God. The reason why you carry the Bible, whether the Bible is in your phone or your tablet, the reason why you carry it around every time and you are convinced that this particular word will come to pass is because of God's faithfulness. So we read, let's read the scripture first. Psalm 36, verse 5 to 9. Psalm 36, verse 5 to 9. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trusts under the shadow of their wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of their pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Powerful passage. I'll be speaking very briefly on that word, faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? Now, when you understand this concept that we're talking about, your walk with God will change radically. Your walk with your spouse, husband, wife, will change radically. Your duties as a father, as a mother, will suddenly take a better turn. Faithfulness. To be faithful is to be steadfast. To be faithful is to be steadfast in affection or allegiance. To be faithful is to be steadfast. To be faithful is to be firm in adherence to promises. Take note of that. Adherence to promises. A faithful husband does not say, because my wife is unfaithful, therefore I have liberty to be unfaithful. Why? Because faithfulness means you adhere to promises. Once you have said, till death do us part, only death can do you part. Oh, my spouse is unfaithful. I was watching a video clip a few hours ago, and the elder was he was counseling the younger fellow, and he was telling him, don't say because your wife has done this, you are going to revenge. Because at the end of the day, you will suffer more than when you started. It is because we don't understand faithfulness. That's the reason why the whole world is upside down. But from today, as you are thinking of God's faithfulness, you are also thinking of your own faithfulness. To be faithful is to be true to the facts, to a standard. To be true to a standard. That's the reason why, like our elder mentioned, I studied engineering for some years before I began to study human beings. Because you can study engineering for several years and you don't know how to handle human beings. When I knew I was going to be a pastor, I had to shift my attention from concrete to human beings. Because concrete will always obey you. Human beings will not always. Hallelujah. When we cast concrete, we also cast what we call cubes. So that we, with the same thing that we have used to cast the concrete. Because we want to be sure that this particular concrete structure will stand the test of time. So after 7 days, after we have done some curing, after 7 days, we take the keeps for test. After 21 days, we take the keeps for test. There's a certain strength that it must attain by 7 days. There's a certain strength it must attain by 21 days. True to standard. If he does not attain that strength, what do we do? As the engineer, you must condemn that structure. I had to resign from a job because the company was not abiding with standard. And I know my job as an engineer. I discovered that they are trying to cut corners. And I was supervising a dam. If 20 years afterwards, if that dam collapsed, it's going to be on my neck. They might have forgotten me, but I will not forget my error. True to standard. True to standard. So I told my boss, I can't continue here. I will prefer to have not to have a job than to do a substandard job. So many people who work with me, they are always wondering, why do I insist on this? Why do I insist on that? You must know my background, where I'm coming from. I have to insist on standard because if you don't insist on standard, you put people's life in danger. You put the organization itself in danger. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So anytime you see your leader insisting, this must be done this way, this must be done this way, it is because the God we serve is a faithful God. We can't give anything less than faithful service unto him. Nothing less than faithful service. Several times when things go wrong, we always think of, oh, who can we see? Who can adjust the standard for us? That's Nigeria's way. Your God is faithful. And what must you be? You also must be. I can't hear that. It's as if many of us are afraid of that word now. What must you be? What must you be? So I've just given you some description of this word, faithful. The Bible tells us about God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful. That's what the Bible says. And I love that. By whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's faithful. There are three things you must bear in mind immediately you hear that. Three things. It is because God is faithful that he answers prayers. When you see us spending time in praying, we know why. When you see someone praying on the same matter for 1 year, he knows the one he's praying to will answer. Answer prayers. We pray because we know we serve a faithful God. If you are tired in praying, it may be because you think that your God doesn't answer prayer again. But may I tell you, I submit to you today, he still answers prayers. I have discovered several times when answers do not come immediately, there's a reason. And I will give you an example. One day, we were having a program in the camp, and all of a sudden I became sick. I knew I wasn't feeling fine. So after the program, I began to pray. I'll go for prayer walk. I'll pray. I'll do the normal prayer that I normally do. Until one day, when I heard God clearly, son, this particular problem will not yield to normal prayers. Are you listening to me? Many of you think that those great men of God who are anointed, they don't have problem. Some of them, they carry sicknesses in their body for several years. That doesn't mean that God is unfaithful. He has a reason. He said, son, this problem will not yield to your normal prayers. You have to hold vigil every day until I answer. Are you listening to me? Long story cut short. I had vigil with my wife for 5 months. How many months? Even when I have to travel for one reason or the other, on the phone, wherever I am, we'll be holding vigil together. 5 months. Now, you might now ask, oh, why is it? What God can do in 5 minutes? Why is he asking for 5 months? God is not doing that because he can't remove the problem in 5 minutes, but because he wants me to up my spiritual life. God is saying, son, you are supposed to be here by now. You are still here. Your prayer life must change. Anytime you see one big problem that the normal prayer cannot remove, it's because your prayer life must do what? Must change. I know many of us, you're always looking for men of God who will lay hands on you and all your problems will disappear. How will you ever grow? It is not that God is not faithful. He has to grow you. In his faithfulness, he must grow you. So tell your neighbor, God is growing you. Please say it very well. In Matthew chapter 7, it tells us there, Matthew 7 from verse 7, he said, ask and it shall be given you. Ask, it shall be given you. We are sure, we are convinced, beyond all doubts, it will answer. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, he shall be opened. That's the Bible. That's because of his faithfulness. And why am I insisting on this? It is because I have discovered that because of the problems in the world, because of the problems in Nigeria, because of all that are confronting us, many of us, we are becoming weak in our prayer life. Some of us, we were raised up as with what we call the gospel of convenience. For many of us, Christianity is very easy. You have not started though. Christianity will not be easy. Christianity is walking with the God whose name is the consuming fire. It's not easy. Oh, pastor, are you saying Christianity is difficult? Yes. It will take the whole of your lifetime to learn how to walk with God. So, you pray some prayer. You have not received an answer. I don't know. The people who are praying for me, maybe they are not anointed. Why are you not anointed yourself? Christianity is not easy. It is a walk with God who lives in eternity. And I'm assuring you, by the time you go back home with this message of faithfulness and you learn how to walk with him, it will shock you that things work better than ever. Number two, one of the things you discover because God is faithful is sudden interventions. Do you know? There are many times God has done things in your life that you didn't pray for. Sudden interventions. Joshua had a battle to fight. All of a sudden, he discovered that the enemies are running away. He cried to God that the sun will stand still and the moon will stand still. But in spite of that, the enemies are escaping from him. He didn't know how he cannot stop them. But God intervened. God released stones from heaven. Sudden interventions. There are several times God has fought your battle. You only see the results. Not because you know how to pray. No. Not because that someone has even prayed for you. Not at all. It's just himself showing his faithfulness. Sudden interventions. And that takes me to number three. Do you know that sometimes he sends fear into your adversaries? Fear. Many of us, we don't know what it means to be a child of God. To be a child of God is that God watches over you as the apple of his own eye. Jacob was running away from Laban. Jacob didn't know the danger that was coming to him. Laban was pursuing him. His desire was that he was going to wipe him out and take his daughters back. That was his plan. But that night, God came to Laban. Laban, you are treading on a dangerous ground. That person you are going to meet tomorrow, don't say any evil word to him. Which one can be better than that? When God sends fear to your enemy. From now on, and I decree upon all of you, the Lord will send fear to your enemies. I can't hear that amen well. Genesis 31:29. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesterday night, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. He sent fear to his adversary. It was not because of the prayers of Jacob. It was just because God is faithful. Whoever commits his life to God, God has the responsibility of watching over that life. I have seen this in my life several times. Several times. I'll just give you one testimony before I begin to round up this message. I was traveling from Nigeria to Ghana and from Ghana to Sierra Leone by road. I know many of you have never made that journey. It's an interesting journey. It took me 2 weeks from Accra to Freetown and 2 weeks to come back. And I was the one on the wheel for 1 month driving. We slept in a city called Farana in Guinea-Conakry. And overnight, before the next morning, they stole my spare tire. And I was going to embark on a journey that I don't even know what the terrain looked like. So I looked at what I had in my pocket. If I should buy a spare tire here, it's not likely I will reach Sierra Leone. So I decided, let's go. Before evening, we'll be in Sierra Leone. So I have already checked the map. I have a handbook in those days that used to tell me what the terrain looked like. So I checked the handbook, and I discovered that after Farana, just a few kilometers after Farana, there is a road that turns to the left. Anytime road turns to the left, you have to be careful. Hallelujah. So there's a road that turns to the left. I've studied the map, and they said, that road is very short. It should be a shortcut. Instead of us going to Conakry, which is a better road, and then go to Freetown from there. The moment we got out of Farana, I saw Freetown. Ah! I said, that's the road. I didn't know that I'm entering into a trap. I branched in without a spare tire. And may I tell you, for the next 18 hours, we were inside a jungle. Several times, the people were traveling with me had to come out of the car to push the vehicle through rivers. I'm talking of rivers. Through rivers. Where there were no bridge at all. It was later we discovered that this road is only taken by those trucks that carry logs. So you can imagine somebody with Pojo. In those days, Pojo was raining. Pojo 504. That's what I was... inside that kind of jungle. But do you know, until we enter Sierra Leone, our tires did not go down. Faithfulness. Someone, one of the people that traveled with me, one of the missionaries, said, throughout while we were in that jungle, I felt another presence with us. There's no other explanation. So sometimes when people see me daring things that are difficult, they don't know where I'm coming from. I have seen dangers. I've been confronted by deaths time and again. I have seen the faithfulness of God in manifestation. And I can assure you, this God of sudden intervention, he will intervene for you. Let your amen be louder. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, the Bible says, there are no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it. I therefore prophesy upon your life, from now, anytime temptation and trials are close by, the Lord will make a way for you. Finally, before I pray for us, you must not forget that one of the names of God, of the Lord Jesus, is faithful. One of his names is faithful. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. You can see the two of them, they go together. When we say that somebody is faithful, he also is true. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. Faithful. Anytime you go to the place of prayer, know that the one you are praying to is called faithful. He cannot deny himself. Whatever he has promised, he will do it. If you have been weak in prayer, beginning from today, take up your prayer mantle. Take up your prayer assignment. Do it with all your heart, because you are standing with someone who is called faithful. Finally, this faithful God said something, and which is what God asked me to say to Tip at 25. This faithful God says, Revelation 21, verse 5. Revelation 21, 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I make all things new. Meaning what? Whatever you have seen that God had done in the past 25 years is nothing to compare with what he's about to do. See, that's a challenge to you. This is the way we used to do it. That one must stop. What do I say? That one must stop. Anyone who works with the God of faithfulness must learn a lesson. His faithfulness is new every day. Every day. He's a God who has never failed in his word. I make all things new. The question you must be asking yourself from time to time is, oh Lord, what is the next thing for us to do? What is the height that you ask of us? I went to minister in a church years ago. It was during their go fishing program. As I knelt down to pray in the church on that day, the Lord opened my eyes. And I found myself inside a big warehouse. Wow. So when I finished praying, I told the pastor, I said, even though you are very small today, what God has told me is big. Because they were just meeting in a parlor. Very few people. But I saw a big place. And I know the way God speaks to me. So I told him, do you know, some years after that, a group of people invited me to come and pray in their new, the new place they've gotten. So I went there. I saw this big warehouse that they had bought, and they were having challenges there. I said, don't worry, you are about to possess your possession now. So I prayed. When I finished praying, one of them reminded me, said, "Sir, this is the same parish that you came in so-so-so year, and you said you saw a warehouse." A few days ago, I sent a message to a pastor in the UK. I went to minister in his church. And when I was praying, before going for the ministration, the Lord opened my eyes and I saw 5,000 people in that church. Then I told him, I said, "Son, this is what God has told me about your future. God has told me that your parish will have 5,000 people and you are far from it." Now, we discussed a few days ago, and then I remember God showed me 5,000. And you know what? Once God has shown you that thing, he has already made the provision. So I reminded him, don't forget the 5,000 number. You see, after years of existing as a church, it is easy to settle down to tradition. When you look at a church like ours now, almost every seat is taken. Oh, except the ones at the top. It's very easy to say, "Oh, God has helped us. Let us now relax and enjoy." God wants to help you more. Do you hear that? He said, "I make all things new." So I'm challenging you. Every natural group here, your assignment in the next 1 year is, how are we going to double the attendance here? Every natural group. The singles, the youths, the men, the women, everyone, the elders. Every one of us, that is the assignment God is giving us. I make all things new. So 25 years had come and gone, but we want new things now. Because once God has said it, he has already made provisions available. Stand up on your feet. In your life, God is also saying, "I want to make all things new." I want you to go to him today, this particular morning, and cry to him and say, "Heavenly Father, I am here. And I want new things in my life. Make all things new." All things. Cry to the Lord. Make all things new. I am tired of tradition. I'm tired of the old way of living. Make all things new in my life. You are the faithful God. Faithful. You are constant. Once you are promised, you watch over your word to carry it out. You are faithful. You don't change. You remain the same forever. My Father, make all things new in my life. Make all things new in my marriage. Make all things new in my business. Make all things new in my career. You are faithful. You are faithful. If you have said it, you can do it. Make all things new. All things. All things. You are faithful, God. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Somebody is going to pray this prayer. You will say after me, "Heavenly Father, I am not unaware of what you have done, but I know you can do more. I am expecting more. Greater breakthroughs in my life." Pray that prayer for yourself. "I'm not unaware of the way you have helped me. You have helped me seriously in time past. Sudden interventions, answer prayers. You have fought battles I didn't know was even existing. I'm not unaware of all you have done. But Lord, greater breakthroughs. That's what I desire. Yes, Lord. My Father, The breakthrough of yesterday cannot take care of the challenges of tomorrow. Father Lord, greater breakthroughs, my Father, that's what I desire. Thank you, my Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Just one more prayer, and that prayer is for Nigeria. I gave a testimony this morning in the Central Parish. When I was a missionary in Ghana, Ghana was going to election for one of their elections. I spent five years in Ghana. And the political parties had harmed themselves. It was going to be a very, very contentious election. Very contentious one. We had one of the chairmen of one of the political parties with us in our church. So I normally discuss with him what was going on in the country. And he would tell me, Pastor, things are going to be very bad. So I took it up in prayers. Every vigil, that was a major attack, major intercession, that the election will be peaceful. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you, that was the most peaceful election they have ever had. We were praying. Until one day, suddenly God just spoke to me and said, Son, no more prayer. Begin to thank me because I have answered. Faithful God. Faithful. He said, I have answered. He said, this election will be peaceful. So we stopped praying. I got to the altar on Sunday and I said, God has told me this election will be peaceful. The man laughed. He said, Pastor, you don't understand. You are not a Ghanaian. You don't understand. I said, sir, you will see. They had the election on the Saturday. We were expecting to hear news on Sunday, to hear news on Monday, to hear of the troubles on Tuesday. No problem anywhere at all. The most peaceful election they ever had. Why? God has spoken. I want you to go to that same God and say, Heavenly Father, Nigeria is going for election. Don't let there be troubles. Let there be peace. Let us call. Let's cry to the Lord. Let's cry to the Lord. Let there be peace. We cannot afford to be losing the lives of our young men and women. We can't afford it. No more loss of lives. Father, banditry in our land must come to an end. Father Almighty, we ask you, O Lord, that the thugs will be out of job. There's too much thuggery in our elections. Too much violence. My Father, this is your land. You have the final say. You are a faithful God. Show up for us. Show up for us. Show up for us, oh God. Show up for us. Thank you, my Father. So shall it be in Jesus' name. I have a leading in my spirit to pray for some people who are passing through a time of depression. They feel that God doesn't answer their prayers anymore. I actually want to pray here and leave you. But God said, I should pray for them and command that spirit of depression to leave them alone. If you are one of such people, please step out immediately. I want to pray for you. Quickly, if you are coming. God bless you. Any other person? I heard him that you have been struggling. You have given up. But he said, no, you can't give up. He said he has not given up on you. He has not given up on the things you are struggling with. He still remains faithful. He remains faithful. Brethren, stretch your hands towards our brethren and pray for them. that this particular burden of depression will leave them alone. Depression is a cloud. It's a dark cloud. It's an oppression from the adversary. Pray for these our brothers and sisters, that this dark cloud will get out of their lives today. Not tomorrow. Today. That God will show up for them speedily. Faster than they can imagine. That God will reveal himself again as a faithful God. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' name, we pray. My Father, you have seen the burden in the heart of your children. That's why you have sent us here today. In the name that's above every other name.